There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Oh, man, I tell you, the only Bronco I like is a Bronco that you carve a fucking burger out of.
Oh, a horse? You want a horse burger?
For some reason, I thought a Bronco was like a bull.
No.
No, it's a horse. The Broncos. It's a football team. The horse is the mascot.
Okay. Let's just assume, first of all, that most hamburger meat in the United States of America is already horse meat.
Which is legal, I believe, now.
Yes, it
is.
Yeah, I mean, horses are good meat.
Sure, yeah,
it's
they're
like fun. A fucking walking around. It's like you can't eat a car, but you can eat a horse.
It's terrible meat.
Think about this. Imagine if you could have a car made out of fucking jerky, that if you're driving across the country and you run out of gas and you're stuck in the desert, you can eat your car. That's what a horse is.
You want a jerky car, and a horse is nothing but that.
Technically, a horse is a jerky car with a rug on the top of it that can be made into clothes if you need it to be.
And this is just how you see animals, huh?
Yeah.
Just as future jerky.
As to whatever is fucking convenient for what I need.
That's right. All right. Welcome to the show, everyone. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. With us, as always,
Zookeeper?
I don't know. Some animal thing.
Swiss Army Zookeeper Henry Zebrowski, where you could take a cat. Oh, if you kill it, it can also be an oven mitt.
Anything could be an oven mitt.
Well, specifically a cat, because you could core out its butthole and stick your hand up there and use its mouth to hold a pot or pan.
You could use a big rat for that as well?
No.
Raccoon, possum?
No, this is where your imagination is wrong.
What are you talking about?
Would you use a rat for as a microphone cover? Or a golf club cover?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you.
Which I still don't really understand the purpose of. I've never been golfing.
No, you're not allowed.
I've never been rich enough.
Yes.
And I don't have strong enough hips for the swinging motion.
Well, the guy we're about to talk about, he was actually a great golfer. And he had very strong hips.
Wait a second.
He was a running back. We mentioned it.
I spilled some apple juice onto my
We're talking about O.J. Simpson. We're talking about O.J. Simpson.
Is loose.
The juice.
Oh, the juice. Everyone loves the juice. This week
is 20 years, right?
The 20th anniversary of the Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman murders perpetrated by Mr. O.J. Simpson.
No, is it 20 years to the night that they were murdered, or is it 20 years to the day that he was basically accused of the crime? The Bronco chase. Yeah.
Yesterday was the 20th anniversary of the Bronco chase, and I believe Monday was the anniversary of the murders.
Yeah.
Takes me back, man.
Oh. I got something to say about that Bronco chase, but we'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah,
cutting off my Knicks game. Unbelievably upsetting.
I still remember when Princess Di died, and it was the middle of me watching Saturday Night Live, and I was just like, who's Princess? Die.
Who gives a shit?
I want Chris Farley.
Oh, my God.
Well, for some of our younger listeners out there who may not remember this, I know all of us were around 10, 11 years old when that happened. Ben, you may have been 12.
Okay. That's roughly 10 or 11.
Yeah, so a time when we can remember this fairly vividly.
Yes.
O.J. Simpson was one of the greatest running backs to ever grace the
game. Yeah, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, he used to be a football player.
He was a Buffalo Bill. Yes, yeah, number 32.
He was the first. And by the way, my football number in junior high was 32, and my coach used to call me O.J.
Yeah.
Well, that's not terrifying.
Yeah, this was 1995. 96.
That's great.
Murder still very fresh in the minds of Americans.
Sure, yeah.
Well, you can see by your crooked smile and your coyote-type eyes that you were just about to snap anyway.
Oh, man.
Because sometimes a woman will just drive you crazy.
All right, take it easy.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson, first guy to rush for 2,000 yards. His offensive line was
called 10 football fields.
That's a lot of football fields. It's much more than 10.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah,
it's 2,000 football fields. 100 yards is a football field.
I'm no football expert.
Yes.
There's a 2,000. It's 2,000 football fields.
No, it's 200.
200, whatever. I'm no mathematician.
Ooh, yeah, well, of course, O.J., his nickname was The Juice, you know.
Because his name is O.J.
Yes. Orenthal James.
Mm-hmm.
And because his style of playing was electrifying.
Yeah, because they called him. What was his name? They called him the Electric Company.
They called his offensive line the Electric Company.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Yeah, he was a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. 1985, he was inducted. And then he became an actor.
And he was charming.
He is a wonderful actor. Go back and watch the Naked Gun films.
Oh,
he is wonderful. Yes, he is brimming with homicidal intent, but...
Yeah, we did not know that at the time, though.
Sometimes that makes for a good comedian. Look at us.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes, sometimes, yes, we may, you know... Say things we don't mean.
Yeah.
You know, stir the pot a bit.
Sure. But he got an attractive girlfriend.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he was in Roots. He was in The Klansman. He was in Capricorn 1.
The Klansman?
Yes. Yes.
What was he? Was he one of the Klansmen?
He played a pair of boots.
Oh, I see. He's a very good actor.
Very good actor.
God, some of the best boot acting I've ever seen.
In 1979, he started a production company making made-for-TV movies, including Goldie and the Boxer and Cocaine and Blue Eyes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And at the time of the murders...
where he got Cocaine and Blue Eyes from, just staring at Nicole as she threw the huge line in Miami.
He had a pilot at the time of the murders called The Frogmen.
Now,
had just been filmed.
But okay. See, for some reason,
a pilot for television.
Okay. It was an A-Team ripoff called The Frogmen. And in fact, in one scene, he holds a knife to the throat of a woman.
Well, sometimes if you're a frogman, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah,
you know. And sometimes that woman is, you know, maybe driving you fucking off the fucking handle.
Well, you know,
you never know.
But when I was a kid, I remember distinctly hearing about frogmen. I was playing Battletoads, and for some reason I was fixated on the idea that he was going to play a giant frog. And then when the murders happened, I remember just thinking of being like, man, and he was just about to play a giant frog.
Man, that sucks. That's the worst thing that came out of that whole murder, double murder there. He couldn't be a big frog for a made-for-TV movie. I'm just getting into the mind of a young Henry Zebrowski.
God. Of course, he was a famous spokesman.
I wish you would have been interviewed on the news. What's the worst thing about the scandal, Mr. Zebrowski?
He ain't never gonna be a frog again.
Oh, pan away. Cut. Pan away from the dumb Queens boy.
And of course, he was a spokesman for Hertz Rent-A-Car, among many other things. Yeah.
For when you need to really get away from it all.
Yeah. Murdered your wife and a waiter.
So in 1977, he met his wife and future murder victim, Nicole Brown.
So sad when that's also got to be the second tag for your life. You know, it's just like future wife, future murder victim. Mm.
He was married to his first wife, Marguerite, who, if you've seen pictures of Marguerite.
Beautiful.
Stunning woman.
Yeah slamming.
Absolutely stunning woman. And he also had two children with Marguerite. We'll get to his son that he had with Marguerite much later. And Brown and Simpson were married in 1985. The marriage was 7 years. And in 1989, after years of spousal abuse...
And this was completely grazed over. This spousal abuse, he was like, troubled marriage. You know, things were so beautiful in the Audrey house. He was, first of all, a world-class athlete.
Yeah.
And she was just a model. And
he was a massive star. He was, you know, not only was he a Hall of Famer, but he was also a movie star.
Yeah.
And so imagine that now with the 24-hour news cycle of like, this would not have lasted 30 seconds.
But we do have Chris Brown and Rihanna.
Yeah.
And which
is a shame. The whole thing is bullshit. Like, you cannot, as long as you're famous, you can't be put in jail.
Yeah,
cops, as we'll see.
Cops came to OJ's house 8 times and in the total of their marriage and never arrested him once, which makes some of the
charges. They just went for autographs.
Yeah.
They were bringing memorabilia for him to sign.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were we get to go to OJ's house again? Oh, I love it when he beats his wife on Fridays.
Make sure to bring the Band-Aids and also some Sharpies because I got these jerseys I want him to sign.
They filed for divorce in 1992. 2 years before the murder, citing irreconcilable differences.
Yeah, made me a human punching bag.
Oh, okay, Miss Brown. That's fine.
So 2 years later, Nicole Brown is living the single life, raising both of the kids.
Yeah.
OJ, during this time, he keeps harassing her. His Nicole's sister said that OJ many times was stalking her. She said that she
would
turn
around. Can
you imagine
how frightening that would be?
Jesus Christ.
But also how charming he is, though, at the same time.
I mean, it would be great if he stalked her as the frog man. Is that a big frog in the bushes over there?
I'm just looking for some flies.
Hey, Nicole, do you have a big frog fella that watches you all the time?
No, that's my husband, movie star and Hall of Famer football player O.J. Simpson.
You're that, Nicole Brown. You know, I'm going to get my stuff. I'm just going to get out the back door. I'm going to go. All right, goodbye.
I'm so excited to see him play a frog.
One man who decided to throw caution to the wind with this particularly abusive and violent man skulking around was waiter Ron Goldman.
Oh, yeah, and you just the wrong profession. If he was military, former Green Beret Ron Goldman, then it would have been fine.
Well, he was a waiter at Mezzaluna Trattoria.
Oh, and all the videos I watch of Ron Goldman, too, they kept going back to them, and it's just him with, like, slick back hair and fucking Coke Rocks in his nose, like, with some sort of, like, turquoise striped shirt, like, doing, like, some dance to, like, you know, In Excess, well, like, covered in sweat.
He probably got a SAG card from working. It's like working at Heckle or Jekyll and Hyde's here in New York City. But let's not victim blame. But there is no way this actor slash waiter slash possible homosexual was going to be able to beat OJ.
No, absolutely.
There's no way.
A rage-fueled OJ Simpson?
Jesus, I would never want to see that.
Yeah. So Nicole and her mother had gone and eaten dinner at Mezzaluna that night, and her mother had left her glasses behind. And after an extensive search, they found the glasses in the gutter. And Ron said, all right, I'm going to take the glasses back to Nicole. And some people say that was evidence that they were in a relationship, although Ron Goldman said they were just friends.
Yeah, of course, because what else are you going to say? No, absolutely. Yeah, I'm just friends with the woman who has the psychopath, former Hall of Famer, like nearly invincible movie star O.J. Simpson, who's also got a bit of a rage problem.
Yeah, just pals, huh?
We're big time friends. Right.
So he goes over to her house, and at 12:10 a.m. on June 13th, 1994, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman's mutilated bodies.
The crime scene photos are horrific.
We actually, for our live last podcast show, we did a little censorship and did not show, but feel free to Google the crime scene photos, and you will see.
They are
what
brutal.
A professional athlete can do with a knife.
Or, I mean, honestly, because it's pretty similar to, honestly, like the Vampire Sacramento case and stuff like that, where it's like, it is some of the most brutal crimes, or like Ted Bundy, when he was doing the sorority house murders. Of just
with a
like,
log, yeah.
Someone who has gone fucking berserk.
Yeah.
Went and all over them.
It's the opposite of like the Black Dahlia case. There is nothing scientific or medical about it.
Well, there's certain people they say was, you know, like, obviously, he knew that you had to slit the throat and if you wanted them to be silent, because they were also in the middle of an apartment complex. We'll get into these details.
Yeah. So Nicole was stabbed 27 times in the head and neck, had defensive wounds on her hands, of course. The wound through her neck was so huge that you could see her larynx.
Isn't it weird? I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but does anybody else feel more, like, I shiver more at the defensive wounds?
Yeah,
like the idea of getting my hands stabbed to me, I don't know why that. I was like, I don't care about my head, but my hands, I'm like, oh.
Because they were also doing a breakdown. I was watching some doc while we were talking about this, because Ron Goldman, what was unknown about him is that he had a black belt in karate.
And he did relatively well.
And they were talking about, they were doing a breakdown of what the fight must have looked like between OJ and Ron Goldman. And it was pretty fucking brutal, because that's basically this karate expert, which is always funny because they bring in a karate expert and they're always like 290 pounds.
Right.
And like in a tiny gi, you know? And he like comes in and he's just like, so you got the intruder and he's whacking at him, whacking at him, whacking at him. And Ron Goldman's going, shoot, and he's whacking, and it was brutal.
And Ron Goldman's like, no, you're supposed to hit me on my shoulder, and I'm supposed to grab your wrist. Don't you know how to play karate, OJ?
So they say that OJ drove to Nicole's house for, of course, an unknown reason. We don't know why he went there.
I think
the glasses.
No, why? No,
yeah, they went there to have sex with each other, yes.
OJ went to the house.
Because he had a hunt on. He was hungry for revenge.
For some reason that night. So Nicole, she puts the two children to bed. And this is a detail that nobody talks about.
Yeah.
There were two children in that house.
The children the OJ ended up getting custody of.
Yeah.
God, help us.
Jesus Which is Christ. Insane.
And I will say kudos to the news media for backing off on that. And backing off of it to this day. Backing off of OJ's children, not involving them at all.
No, because you're never heard from. Thank God.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, what are they going to do? Maybe they just weren't allowed. Maybe they were afraid of OJ Simpson.
Yeah, he's on the loose.
So she put the two children to bed. She either heard a knock at the door or she heard a noise outside, went out to go check. And, of course, before she was even able to scream, OJ grabbed her, attacked her with a knife. And then at that same time, Ron Goldman arrived at the front gate. And this is all happening in front of the house. This didn't happen inside. This happened out in front of the house. Ron Goldman comes through the gate, sees the murder. And OJ, of course, he's still in rage mode, knows that there's a witness. He immediately goes after him. The fight ensues. And he's stabbed in the neck and chest.
Or he knew that they were lovers.
Yeah. Stabbed him in the neck and chest. He restrained him with an arm chokehold, finished the job. And then after he killed Goldman, he went back over to Nicole, grabbed her by the... She was laying on the ground. He grabbed her by the back of her head.
She was still alive here?
Yeah. He grabbed her by the back of her head, pulled her head up, put his foot in her back, and slit her throat.
Well, that's also where they say that there may have been evidence of it being a professional killer. Yeah. Where it's like someone who knew that you had to complete the job. At this point, you'd imagine, because in a rage killing, I can imagine him flipping out and stabbing somebody a whole bunch of times.
Yeah.
But then you see it again and you watch her. It's either like, does he feel mercy? And is he trying to end it?
Or is he trying
to finish it? Yeah.
I think trying to finish it.
Yeah. I think it's further rage. That's calm rage.
Yeah.
Where she sees the man that she's possibly fucking, this strange man coming into her house. Maybe he knew that he existed, maybe he didn't. Yeah. But of course, after he kills this guy, it becomes I'll fucking show you time.
Absolutely. And then the idea, but then this is where more of the conspiracy theories come in, of being like, they said that OJ hid behind a bunch of bushes and surprised her jumping out behind these bushes. But in this doc I went, they walked through the whole apartment building like that, and the whole area where they were murdered directly on the steps in front of the apartment. And they're like, there's a brick wall here. They're like, he wasn't hiding. So it was either he just overpowered and grabbed her, but it was literally an apartment complex.
Yeah.
It's like, how did you not hear the screams? They said it was an epic struggle. The struggle between him and Ron Goldman must have been, was huge. It was all over that hallway.
I feel like if you're in the middle of a fight, though, screaming isn't really necessarily a response that your body would even do.
I start screaming just if I'm alone in the apartment.
OJ isn't coming after you to kill you. If OJ comes after you to kill you, your mouth is going to go agape, and then nothing's going to come out, and then by that time, you're in a huge fight.
When I was attacked in the street, I screamed. I was like, I'm getting mugged!
I mean...
Which is, you know, this is why bring
you're
help.
You're a fun person to mug. That's the thing.
No, you just feel like, OJ Simpson's getting me! He's got OJ Simpson, Hall of Famer!
OJ.
Star of Naked Gun is killing me! Nordberg, no!
Maybe that's what sent him over the edge.
Yeah,
not Nordberg!
Yeah, you know, Naked Gun 33 and a third came out this same year. It came out in 1994.
It had to come out before, right? That would be really shitty for the studios to have to deal with.
What's so fucked up is that you know that those producers were really like, whew,
thank God it did it in July.
Well, if we spin this right, it could actually help sales, I guess.
So 4 days go by before the LAPD decides that O.J. Simpson is their man.
Oh, and during this time, are we going to get into that the way the LAPD just completely messed up the crime scene?
They found blood in his Bronco. He skipped town. He went to Chicago for some reason.
They were walking on the blood like they were skating on
it. The whole thing was fucked.
I mean, it was nuts.
Yeah, we'll get to all that when we get to the trial. So lawyers, O.J. Simpson's lawyer, Robert Kardashian, who you may know as the father of Kim Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian.
What a great history that whole family has.
Why was this man? If I could go back in time and kill one person, I'm leaving Hitler alone.
I'm going after
Kardashian.
Yeah, Robert Kardashian was the patriarch of the Kardashian family of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Hmm. And it said that Kardashian
Did he have a bodacious butt as well?
I'm sure he had to have.
Yeah, he had to. So he, it's said that Robert Kardashian actually went to OJ's house and disposed of the murder weapon, disposed of OJ's bloody clothes.
That's a good lawyer.
That's a real good lawyer.
Bad person.
I want one of those lawyers, though.
Yes, yes.
And so OJ, the night of the murders, he went to Chicago for a Hertz convention, which I bet he was not on his game.
No. Does OJ look like he is full of blind rage right now?
Or? Yeah, every time he sees a blonde woman, he comes through like the guy, OJ, this is Judy. Oh my God, I killed her!
No, no, she just wants to talk about sales.
Hatchbacks.
So OJ, you know, the lawyers convince him to come in. OJ's supposed to show up. There are 1,000 reporters there waiting for him. And OJ doesn't show up. What he does do is he sends Robert Kardashian a long suicide note. Robert reads it to the press.
Oh, OJ's sad.
Yeah. He reads it to the press and he says, please, please come in. And they put out an APB for the white Bronco around 6:30 p.m. A motorist, they see Simpson in the white Bronco, driven by good old AC.
AC Cowlings.
Yep, AC Cowlings. And so, of course, they put a police car on him. The police car comes up to the side of the Bronco and Al yells out, they're going about 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, the epic fucking speed chase of 35 miles an hour. Yeah. I hate, we'll talk about this.
Yeah, Al yells out, OJ's back here. He's got a gun to his head. Fucking back off. The cop backs off and 20 police cars follow him. And what follows is a
disruption in the NBA Finals when the New York Knicks were playing the fucking Houston Rockets. It was the first time the Knicks had been in playoffs in the finals since the 70s.
The Knicks lost, though, right?
They actually won that game, but then they lost in game 7. But that is fine.
Yeah. They interrupted them. Of course, the Stanley Cup was going on that big day in sports history.
Big day.
Actually, Jack Nicklaus's last golf game, but it was all overshadowed by a 2-hour police quote unquote chase. There were 20 news helicopters following this.
Al Cowlings used his blinker. It is not a chase if you signal that you're getting off a ramp. Yep.
They drove down the 405, which, you know, man. How did they get through that?
Yeah, I mean,
fucking rush hour.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
God, it's no 101, but it's still pretty bad.
John Starks is over there shooting the ball, passing it into Ewing. I'm missing all of this.
Yeah, OG's going through the In-N-Out drive-through and just being
literally,
like, animal style! Animal style!
Yeah,
he's got a gun to his head. We better... All right, he wants to go through the car wash. I understand. Of course, absolutely. That Bronco is filthy with blonde woman blood.
Boy, that's why I don't buy a white car, you know? So, OJ... Domino's Pizza said they had record sales of pizza delivery during the entire chase.
Which is just cool. Such a funny... They've been keeping those stats as well.
Oh, yeah. There had to be a pizza delivery driver who had a white Bronco. I just had... Honey, did you call Domino's or is OJ here?
How to get down here to Biloxi?
Holy shit. Look at that. It's OJ Simpson. He's delivering pizzas. No,
I'm just another black man, sir. I'm not OJ Simpson, sir. Put the gun away, sir.
You know, my aunt lives in LA and she saw the chase at the time. She was stuck in traffic and she was wondering what the fuck was going on, and she said that she saw this white Bronco drive by and 20 police cars.
That's so much fun.
35 miles an hour on a highway. They were going 20 miles under the speed limit.
Yeah.
I mean, this was the worst chase.
It's really hard
in US
to
history.
Drive when you're trying to keep a gun to your head and change the radio station because you're sick and listening to a bass song.
Yeah, that's true.
But put it on K-Rock. I love K-Rock.
Yeah, K-Rock is what you commit suicide to. That's for sure.
So they get back to OJ's house. He stays in there for 45 minutes. Then he goes inside to call his mother and have a glass of orange juice.
Oh, because it's funny. Got to get pumped up, buddy.
Yeah.
So, not apple juice.
What's worse, BTK eating cereal after the Otero murders or OJ having a glass of orange juice?
OJ having a glass of himself.
Yeah, I think so.
So they surrendered the Bronco.
You could see the scene too of him just being like, pulp is sweet orange juice. Remember when times were simple, old OJ? I don't remember. Sweet to the taste. Vitamin C for your bones and your immune system.
He does kill everything he loves.
Delicious orange juice.
And Marcus is
I'm gonna fucking kill myself if you come anywhere close.
Marcus is slamming down some OJ right now. Yeah. Pulp free, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You do think, I definitely would have to say OJ's a pulp guy.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. Because you could tell by the way he fucking brutally slaughtered his wife and her boyfriend.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Inside the Bronco, they found $8,000 in cash, a change of clothes, a loaded 357 Magnum, a passport, family pictures, and a fake goatee and mustache.
Yes, yes. The disguise is phenomenal.
Yes, because first of all, you're OJ Simpson. Yeah.
You're 6'3", OJ Simpson. You're just gonna go, but I've got a fake nose to make me look like the Rocky Rococo's guy.
It could possibly be OJ Simpson. My name is Gunther Witterbart, I'm from Germany.
I know OJ's a very good actor, so I'm very conflicted right now.
This is his other name was the theatrical chameleon, OJ the Chameleon Simpson.
Right. So the trial, if for anyone who wasn't alive during the time...
So he doesn't commit suicide.
He doesn't commit suicide.
He literally pulls into his house.
He pulls into his house. He surrenders peacefully.
Yeah, because his son came out and was just like, Daddy,
come on!
Daddy, please! I don't know, that's my James Simpson impersonation.
What is that? Is he a paraplegic Brit?
Daddy! Why you got to be doing this?
Now he sounds like a soccer player in Mexico.
For anyone who wasn't alive during that time, you have no idea how big this fucking trial was.
Oh, there trial was a, of the century. Trial this is really century. Not an exaggeration.
Yeah, in the Los Angeles Times, the case was the front page story for 300 days. And there were the big three networks. They gave more nightly news broadcasts than both the Bosnian War and the Oklahoma City bombing combined.
This is all they ever wanted to happen.
It's the beginning of the end for real news.
Yeah, because they discovered, they were like, look at these fucking, they made fun of an Anchorman too.
Yeah.
We're just being like, look at these ratings, guys. All we got to do is get more celebrities to kill themselves. We should dump more fluoride into the fucking water systems of L.A.,
You're bringing fluoride into
I'm
this?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
One analyst, estimated $40 billion in lost productivity due to this case. Of course.
Oh, yeah. And because the people that were glued to this case were all people working construction jobs. And like.
And this is my other question, too, is that how many billions of dollars in production were lost in the calculation of how many billions of dollars were lost in the productivity of the. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had to have taken a while. And of course, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno loved the case.
Dancing Itos.
The infamous Dancing Itos, in which Jay Leno brought out a troop of men dressed as presiding judge Lance Ito to do dance numbers.
Mr. Ito loved it because Judge Ito was, talk about Kardashian being a publicity whore as a lawyer and as his offspring.
This whole
Ito
thing.
Was, I mean, yeah, this might as well have been on a soundstage in L.A.
No, it was a parade.
It was for all intents and purposes.
It was a parade of idiots.
Yes.
The whole thing was a parade of power-hungry, attention-hungry fucking morons that were all so happy that this happened.
I just want to say this, too. That is, to me, that's offensive.
Yes. Yes.
Dancing Itos. I mean, we're talking about it, and obviously we're making light. We know this is a terrible case.
Yeah.
And we got into the gruesome details because we have to show people, you know, how brutal it was. Dancing Itos.
Yeah.
Literally dancing around murders of two people.
At least this is a fucking TVMA podcast that's celebrating all the darkest shit that we find, where it's like, that's Jay Leno.
That's
Jay
Leno. Bedtime, put on the Dancing Itos, honey. I love that.
Yeah, this is it's absurd, and it shows. It was the beginning of what you said, the beginning of the end of real journalism, where it's like now, because things are so obsessed with celebrity, now it's like when you have, you know, Lindsay Lohan pussy farts.
Right.
She's in the fucking Huffington Post. It's like she's in these like big named newspapers because we're all so fucking obsessed with celebrities we want to cover every single fucking minutia of what they do.
I do love those pussy fart stories. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, they're great.
Yeah, the prosecution, the lawyers there were Christopher Darden and Marcia Clark, two incompetent fucking idiots,
unbelievably stupid people.
I cannot believe how much the defense ran circles around them. The defense was Robert Kardashian, F. Lee Bailey, mm-hmm. who when I was a kid loved calling Flea Bailey. I just loved saying that. I annoyed the shit out of people with that. Yeah. And of course, the star of the fucking trial, Mr. If it the glove does not fit, you must acquit, Johnny Cochran.
And you get the feeling that Darden and Clark were just like,
Cochran's using rhyme. He didn't tell us he was going to use rhymes. There's no way we can compete with this defense.
Now, what was the evidence here was, so there was a left glove left behind covered in blood outside of the Nicole Brown sister's house, right?
There was the left glove covered
in blood. This was sort of the night of people leaving their glasses and gloves places.
I know, it's just like, that's what happens when everyone's being a stumbly bumbly.
I guess so.
Yep, they found the left glove in one of the left gloves. Gloves in the yard, and the other left glove, or in the right glove, in OJ's home,
outside of OJ's house,
in
right?
The backyard, where as the sun rose, they were able to see.
Yes,
which leads to a lot of speculation.
Yeah. Also, there's blood on the Bronco, right, which was possibly a link to a cut on OJ's hand. They said may have been a defensive wound for a knife. There was blood on the handle of the Bronco.
By the way, a very tiny cut.
Yes.
Very small.
OJ got off pretty... He won.
Yeah. Absolutely. He definitely won. And of course, another thing that they introduced was the years and years of abuse suffered by Nicole Brown.
Absolutely.
Simpson.
And then the two blood-soaked socks that were left on the floor of OJ's bedroom, which just seemed like... All of which seems like, okay... You're in a hurry to get to Chicago because you just murdered your wife and her lover.
Right.
Better take these blood-drenched socks off that I have, like all because they're soaked with their blood, and then you just leave them. Now, I think this is a part of the reason why Nicole Brown Simpson and him broke up.
Messy.
He's just leaving his socks and his gloves everywhere.
You like, know, and then OJ freaked out because he just, it's my house. I'll leave my socks where I want to leave them. You're so upset about it, you pick them up.
And then that very habit... almost put him in jail, but not quite.
Not quite. Well, of course, they played, and there's this famous 911 call, and I don't know if we want to play it, but if you truly want to hear a woman gripped with fear, listen to this 911 call.
Play like 5 seconds of it, and then you'll get the idea, and then if you want to go further with it. It's shocking.
Yeah.
911 emergency.
Can you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green? He's back.
The Frogman's back.
Okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson.
You mean Nordberg?
His record. Could you just send somebody over here?
Okay, what is he doing there?
He just drove up again.
Okay, wait a minute. What kind of car is he in?
He's in a white Bronco. But first of all, he broke the back door down to get in.
Okay. Wait a minute. What's your name?
Nicole Simpson.
Okay. Is he the sportscaster or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. We're sending the police. What is he doing? Is he threatening you?
Going nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, that's how famous he is. The 911 operator, all professionalism out the window. Oh, the sportscaster. The famous sportscaster. Oh, yeah, I know him.
That is just a fucking LA problem, though. Everybody would love to arrest a celebrity because then you get a fucking fun little moment that you can put on your live journal.
Right. So all this is playing during the court. But are we going to get into how Cochran and Bailey, they were able to turn it on the LAPD?
Well, there's a bunch of shit because, famously, the guy that was in charge of the investigation, Mark Furman, was not a good man.
Well, branded a bit of a racist.
Well, you know, it's easy to be branded a racist when you have logs and logs and logs of you saying the N-word 41 times, and then also just saying like stuff like, it was like every the first 5 or 7 sentences out of an N-word's mouth is always a fucking lie, and like saying like all of this crazy shit.
Yeah,
and of course, just been like, you should have been watching the microphones, bro.
Got to. Yeah.
But that tape was from a 1986 interview that she did with a screenwriter who interviewed Furman for a screenplay she was developing on police officers.
So, and that was his defense, was he was playing a character, but I don't think that he was.
What? He's a cop. He's not an actor.
No, it's LA. Everyone's an actor in LA.
But we get away with saying horrible things in character because we are true performers of the screen and stage.
Well, we're not racist.
No.
That helps.
That also helps.
Yes, and we also don't have the power to imprison human beings.
That's the thing.
Falsely. Yeah. And of course, the LAPD, they had the Rodney King beatings.
Yeah. This time was the racial tensions in America were palpable. This was only 2 years after the LA riots.
Right. And that was not...
that wasn't so much calmed down and peacefully settled as it was like stuffed underneath the rug, bubbling over. Constantly.
Oh no, the whole place was a fucking powder keg for a long time, and this was the perfect example of like, because then you have two sides of an argument of just being like, they are trying to, because the way the prosecution can say it was basically what they said, they're trying to frame a prominent black man of a crime, of the most heinous crime, which is, as we know, the killing of a white woman, is like the most punishable crime.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so it's like they're trying to frame him for it.
Right.
But the problem is he had this fucking history of true violence.
And the LAPD planted weapons and drugs constantly on poor black people. Yeah. I mean, the false imprisonment rates were through the roof. It was really...
No, it's a horrible town.
The saddest thing about it is black people needed some... vindication, and it was just unfortunate that OJ was the face of it because he's guilty.
Yeah,
like he murdered the person.
And Johnny Cochran knew exactly what he was doing. The jury was 10 black women, 2 Latino men, and I think 1 white guy.
And then how did they really? So they threw it apart a couple different ways, right? Was it true with the evidence they said about OJ's socks? What they said now is that apparently, so a part of what we said is like the DNA testing and all of the crime scene handling that happened during the OJ Simpson case was fucked.
Well,
like,
it wasn't so much fucked as it wasn't. People didn't believe in DNA testing yet. This was the first trial where they really used it as a critical cornerstone of a case, and people are like, I don't see it. I don't see any DNA. What are you talking about?
The jurors, like, they were all very uneducated people.
Hey, sure. What's DNA? What's DNA? It's just a bunch of letters to me.
Yeah. And they just DNA.
They just said that they just couldn't understand it.
Right.
If there was no CSI, you know? Maybe if you had, like, a college degree in which you took some sort of biology class, you might have some understanding of what DNA is.
Yeah.
But in 1994, people had no fucking clue. And the prosecution decided to make that the cornerstone of their case, which was a big mistake.
It was experimental science technically at the time, and it all fell through, especially because they didn't handle the scene correctly.
Yeah.
And people are, you know, coroners walking through blood. People are saying, like,
there's one story where this huge piece of blood, it was a bloody thumbprint on a door handle. They didn't take it off the door handle. The next morning, a guy came and replaced the knob.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was like, I'm sorry, I thought you guys had already taken the sample. And they're like, oh, no.
36 hours after the thing, because of L.A. neighborhood ordinances, the whole thing was hosed down. So it's 36 hours after the murder happened, the whole thing was fucking steam cleaned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they just brought out an elderly Italian guy in a robe. And he just like cleaned the sidewalk like he does every Thursday.
Yeah, and there was a woman who took a blood sample, and she left the blood sample in her lab coat for 3 days.
So stupid.
Without turning in. She was a trainee, by the way. They put trainees on this crime scene.
And then where some of the conspiracy theories come in is that they were apparently, you know, when they were finally going through all of this DNA evidence, is that one thing they said is that when they checked the blood that was soaked in the socks of, like, O.J. Simpson's socks, is that they were filled with this chemical that normally that you would put in after the fact of collecting blood. And what it does is it makes sure that blood does not coagulate.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found, it was in this blood, it was present in the blood that was on these socks. So the scientists basically said, was like, it can't show up naturally in the blood. It maybe could show up naturally in the detergent of the socks,
right?
But we have no way to really show that. But it's like, if it doesn't occur naturally in the blood, then this has obviously been handled blood and these socks have been treated.
So even if the LAPD would have handled this crime scene Columbo perfect.
Yeah.
You know, if they would have just...
There was corruption going on as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were covering up their own mistakes. They weren't... I mean, that was the problem.
Yeah, and they fucked up with the glove, too, because the glove was, you know, it was OJ's glove.
Yeah.
But the glove was soaked in blood, and then the LAPD froze the glove, which caused it to shrink. And also, Johnny Cochran's other tactic in that was he had OJ go off of his arthritis medication for a couple days, which caused his hands to swell.
Hands to swell.
Yeah.
And then, of course, let's not forget the rhyme. So Cochran worked backwards. He's like, I've got this great rhyme about a glove and a quit. So I just got to find a way to get there.
I just got to get that glove around.
Let's get that glove on there.
And, of course, the verdict comes in. Domino's Pizza. They said that between the hours of 1 o'clock,
Jay Leno and Domino's Pizza are two of the biggest shitty motherfucking things on the face of the planet.
And they got so much mileage out of this.
So much.
They said that in the 15 minutes before the verdict, there were record pizza sales once again. But from 1 o'clock to 1:05 p.m., not a single pizza in America was ordered.
I want to find out how many pizzas were ordered during 9/11.
Yeah, that's the same. I bet there has to be that number somewhere. Yeah.
And he is found, of course, as you all know, he was found not guilty. People were afraid of riots if you were to be found guilty.
I remember they closed down our middle school because they were afraid of race riots.
Yeah, and in my middle school, they gathered us into the home ec room to watch it live.
Oh, yeah, we watched it live. Yeah,
the entire country shut down completely.
They brought in, oh, my God, this is really going to age us, huh? They brought in a huge TV on this massive wheelie thing.
Do you remember those TVs that you flap open the front and has the three colored lights in the front of it?
Yeah. It was such a piece of shit.
Yeah, we're old.
But we watched it, man, yeah.
So a couple years later, OJ goes free in 1997. The family of Ron Goldman, they bring a civil trial against him, trying to sue for wrongful death. They win. And they were awarded $33.5 million in compensation. OJ had to sell everything. He sold his Heisman Trophy. He sold all of his memorabilia. He went out
there to get that memorabilia back.
Oh, yeah, we find that. But then it was like the whole thing hinged on those Bruno Muglies. What was they called, the shoes?
Bruno Muglies.
Yeah, the Bruno Muglies that he was fucking wearing, that they were like only one of 300 made in the United States.
299, sir.
Yeah. Cool. It's just so funny where it just shows everybody, you know, if you want to get away with a murder, wear pretty generic shoes. Right.
And the thing is, I guess we haven't even mentioned, there is so much to this story. We didn't mention Cato yet as well.
Yeah, we didn't mention Cato.
Cato basically was... Cato was technically his
alibi, which is this whole story is just filled with these L.A.
actor
piece of
losers.
Shit morons, where it's just like Cato Kalin could not have been the worst man.
Worst.
Yeah. That could have been the dude to provide your alibi. It's just being like, you know, this is my buddy fucking Doobie James. He fucking rolls doobies professionally. Right. And he's just like, there's no way OJ could have done it because he was at my house and we were playing Twister.
Yeah.
Cato Kalin was a fucking bit part surfer dude who lived in OJ's pool house.
For free.
For free.
And so OJ also, that was one of OJ's defeats. He's like, I always helped out Cato Kalin. I let him live there for free. Yeah. I don't know why he turned his back on me. Yeah. And then Cato got a job, I believe, working for Entertainment Tonight, which just shows you how disgusting this whole fucking
trial was.
And then he was
putrid
in the Surreal Life later on.
And what are you famous for? You're famous for being close to a double murder.
Yeah, that's all you're being famous. Yeah. It's so, this whole thing is of all the crimes we've covered, like, and all the things we've done, it's so fucking dirty.
Yeah.
It's dirty and filthy. It's just full of everybody getting their fucking, because they all want a piece of the pie. This is all about attention.
And the pie is fame. They all want that fame. Yeah. Even a dumb, frumpy Asian judge succumbed to the idea of being a Hollywood superstar.
Yeah. Yes. And if you want to talk about dirty, If I Did It, November 1996, O.J. Simpson wrote a book called If I Did It.
If anyone can find a link,
hypothetical.
There is a thing. There is supposed to be a download of it somewhere.
Well, no, it was published.
Is it published?
Ron Goldman's father published it.
Yeah. And he changed the name to If I Did It, Confessions of the Killer. And on the cover, he puts if really small.
Yeah.
Like, if I did it, Confessions
again,
of a Murderer.
Ron Goldman's father is no better than anybody else. I would never publish a book described when, if a killer kills my son, I'm not letting that killer write a book and describe it to the masses.
But I'm certain that money went to victim associations and stuff like that. Like there must have been something.
I mean, how many people are reading books?
Oh, people, I read
300
books.
Grand?
I read books.
Did you read this one?
No.
I did not.
Thank you. Proving my point. Even
the ghostwriter
books.
I don't like sports books, all right?
Yeah, would this be categorized as sports?
Well, you said this, even in the, you were talking about how, like, this, the ghostwriter of If I Did It was being like, I have no doubt that O.J. Simpson murdered this woman. And what was the thing is being like, well, if I did murder, wouldn't that just show that, like, I loved her a whole lot, right?
Oh, a ton. That was in the Esquire interview. Yeah, in an interview with Esquire in 98, he said, let's say I committed this crime. Even if I did this, it would have to have been because I loved her very much, right?
God,
that was a direct quote. Direct fucking quote.
It's like when you love pizza, you gotta cut it into slices. You know,
because sometimes I give a pizza, like, You know, I have my, I love pepperoni pizza.
I do
if
too,
I see
yeah.
pepperoni pizza, like, in the hands of some fucking 25-year-old fucking slick back hair piece of shit fucking waiter, what am I gonna fucking, this thing, I'm not gonna fly off the fucking handle, I'm not gonna go and cut up some pizza
and so eat make sure fucking to go nine out there slices and, of it. Okay, make sure to go out there and buy O.J. Simpson's new book, If I Did It. Thank you. Thank you so much for being
if
here.
If I did it, everyone should be so fucking lucky that Rose. I okay. won't maybe not do it again.
Oh, right.
And, of course, 2005, we have one of the most bizarre releases in the history of media.
I will say, of all the things we've ever covered, this is by far the most inappropriate thing that has ever been made. All right,
so let's backtrack just a little. Okay, so in 92, he's off trial, so now he's... No, everyone knows he's a murderer. So everywhere yeah. he goes, you know, he has like a date.
Hey, murderer OJ.
Hey, murderer,
like,
all this
I'm
stuff.
I'm a football player.
Yeah. And he's trying to rebrand himself this whole time. He's still attempting to work.
Yeah.
Which that's going to hurt your Hertz career.
Yeah.
But he just kind of hangs around Los Angeles, still golfs, goes out in public.
He's just being a public figure, probably getting paid to be places because they're
by really terrible people.
Yes. And still a punchline at this point, because this whole time he's talking, I'm searching for the real murderers.
Yes.
Yeah. Saying that they were hitmen or something.
No,
shit
the
like
whole
that.
This whole thing is again, it just shows like that's how far of a joke it went. Like, we're not the joke. Like, last podcast is not making a joke of this. No. America made a joke of this.
Yes.
That's how seriously they did not take these crimes.
Yeah, they really didn't. Yeah. They really didn't. So, 05, OJ, and now he has custody of the kids as well. This whole time, his kids are living with him I believe
they
in the same mansion.
To him because they listened to him murder their mother.
They had their ears on. They had their little headphones on.
I remember as a kid, I always slept with fucking earplugs in. So I wouldn't hear my father kill my mother.
Yeah. Well, you know.
In the eventuality. So, man, let's just hear. Let's let OJ tell you what he did in 2005.
This is one of his projects.
And this was produced by the same guy, I believe, who produced Bum Fights and other really classy productions.
Yes.
Get prepared to witness the most highly anticipated video of the year. Get juiced. You won't believe your eyes as you witness O.J. Simpson performing hilarious hidden camera jokes, outrageous pranks, and shocking stunts on unsuspecting people all across America. And you'll witness all the non-stop, uncensored madness caught on tape for the first time ever in this incredible video.
Where's the Bronco?
This insane footage is so controversial, we can't even show it to you on this commercial. Get juiced for only $19.95. But that's not all.
You've been juiced.
Call now during this special TV offer. You'll also get the amazing unauthorized bonus footage absolutely free, featuring the ultra sexy, completely out of control juiced rap video. You won't believe your eyes. Order now.
Juiced.
And, you know, I've seen that video, I don't know, 30 times.
Yes, but you downloaded the video.
I downloaded Juiced itself. Unfortunately,
did you watch it?
The file was corrupted, but I got to see some of the outtakes.
It's just strippers.
It's just strippers. And I've got the music video that he made.
Can we hear some of his rap?
Yeah, let's hear some
the
of
other
that.
Thing, the Vice just a couple of days ago put out with a guy that was like the funny dude for Juiced, and he basically said like OJ was just plied with liquor the entire time, showed up late, and he was like, all the producers didn't understand because they were like, it just seems like OJ's just in it for the money.
Yeah,
you fucking moron. He owes $33.5 million to the families of the people he fucking murdered.
Seems like and the so morality of the double murderer we got, like, isn't good.
Yeah, and so now, one of the pranks was him being a car salesman, selling a white Bronco out on the street, and he autographed it, OJ Simpson, over an accidental bullet hole that was found in the side of the thing.
Nothing but jokes. There's another one that is kind of funny. He's giving somebody a soda through a drive-thru window. He takes a sip of the soda. They were not expecting that.
OJ. Yeah, they were saying like most of the pranks were just being like, oh shit, that's OJ Simpson.
Yeah, like the laughter, like usually it's like a hidden camera. Like everyone's just like, oh, you got me. This was a funny fake security thing here at the airport. But then with OJ, we're just like, oh, you got it.
Oh, it's a murderer.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, there was one on the prank on the golf course where the guy, the accomplice, went out and was just stealing golf balls from all of the other golfers. And, of course, the golfers got super pissed off at right. the guy. And OJ's supposed to go up and say, like, hey, you've been juiced. And he just walks up to him and goes, I'm OJ Simpson.
And they were juiced. That's yeah. juicing
hey,
them.
That's getting juiced.
Those guys.
Luckily, they didn't get like extra pulp juiced because that's what they did to Nicole and Ron Goldman.
Yeah, extra pulp.
Yeah. Here's some of that music video. That and by the way, I can't post this on the page because it's just full of titties.
Yeah, absolutely.
Full of it. Yeah. So if you can get an invite to Cinemageddon and download the torrent, you can see this shit. But yeah, I can't post this. So
if
here's
you can
some
get an invite to Cinemageddon.
It's very difficult. You got to beg these assholes.
You have to be at least 35 pounds overweight and love cheese buffs.
Believe me, I have sent email after email to Cinemageddon. If you're listening, send me an invite.
I love you, Cinemageddon. My ratio is 1.5 to fucking it. My ratio is 1.5. I got a good ratio. Don't kick me out.
All right. Well, let's not get the nerd alert.
Alright, let's go. Why do people wonder about my intentions? Why do people ask me so many questions about how I made it to the top? About all the times I made those deep defensive stops. Yo, coach, there's no stopping the juice. When I'm on the field, I'm like a lion going loose. Better shoot me with a tranquilizer dart. Don't be fooling stupid. I'm not a Simpson named Bart. I'm not because he's a murderer.
I'm not a Simpson named Bart. All right, they get the idea.
Yeah.
He's a murderer.
Yeah, he's a double murderer.
Football player, actor, rapper, murderer. Mr. Simpson, what haven't you done?
You know, I sure haven't really haven't perfected my barbecue technique.
Oh, my. Well, that's next for Mr. Simpson.
Yep. And, of course, as we know, O.J. Simpson is in jail right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, this is kind of ironic because...
This is just kind of one of the most. It's just pathetic and fucked up and sad and like one of the most, like, of course, like, again, the most like LA, Las Vegas way to go to jail.
Yes. Yeah. In Las Vegas in 2007, he broke into the hotel room with this guy, Bruce Fromong.
All of these people are fucking losers and scam artists.
He was a sports memorabilia dealer.
All the guys that OJ were with was working for the government.
Really?
That's why they had the gun. OJ didn't actually have the gun.
No, they pimped him. They pimped him to put him in jail.
It wasn't very difficult because they're like, hey, OJ, they got your stuff. And he's like, oh, better go get it.
Yeah, well, better get it, guys.
And he's like, yeah, my name is Jim. Jim, I've never seen you before. Why do you have that earpiece? My name is Jim.
Better go get my stuff then, I guess.
He was sentenced for kidnapping, weapons possession, assault,
a slew of charges.
He was sentenced to 33 years in prison.
And if you get a chance to go to YouTube, listen to the judge sentencing him. It's a woman. It's a white gal, blonde, as a matter of fact. Mm. And the first sentence is out of her mouth was, just want to let you know this is not retribution for the double murder, which is like definitely means that it was.
That is retribution.
Yeah. Another interesting thing during OJ's time of freedom, I just remembered he met a girl, another blonde gal who looked just like Nicole. This became his girlfriend, who of course reported being beaten on a regular basis. Yeah. He met her outside of Nicole's house where he murdered Nicole. And then he's like, oh, you look just like Nicole. He would make her dress up like Nicole. It was really bizarre. So that's another little thing that he was doing before the...
I can't wait till he's paroled.
33 years from now.
Well, no, he's eligible for parole in 3 years.
And the parole judge's first sentence will be like, this is not retribution for your double murder.
Yeah. Back in jail.
And right now, O.J. Simpson is under the protection of a man known only as Smoke.
Good.
Because he's afraid that other people in the prison, because it's the 20th anniversary of the murders, might kill him just to make a name for themselves.
And that would be, if you're going to kill somebody in prison, you kill the juice.
Yeah.
I just can't feel like... It sounded like the Jews. It sounded like you just said you kill the Jews.
No, you kill the Jews. I didn't say kill the...
No, of course not. But it sounded like we could use that as a great sound clip if we need to for the future to derail
your
political career.
Yeah, I think the whole podcast has ruined the political career.
So now we've heard it. We've heard what the man thinks that you should know.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get into what really fucking happened. Who had their fingers in this fucking pie?
What's bigger than the government's quote-unquote truth? The people's truth.
Yeah. And the people's truth Tumblr. Say it was... The Illuminati.
Illuminati did it.
That were working through the CIA to use MK Ultra mind control techniques to get OJ to fucking participate in this farce so they can ignite a race war in the United States, because the Illuminati, they're all about divide and conquer.
This is my question.
Yeah.
If it did lead to a race war,
yes,
right, I would say you're right. But did it?
Well, it didn't.
Not quite.
It did not. Mm. However, it did.
So they
did.
Failed.
Well, I mean, not really, but kind of.
It's a long game.
Yeah,
it's a long game.
It's very much a long game. That's it's another thing to divide the races of America. You have to divide.
Because they're not
people.
Doing that by themselves.
No.
You know, people don't tend to go to similar races income.
It's the Illuminati pushing them along.
Right,
poking them in the back.
Oh, it's not real estate?
No, it's not the intense division between... Who controls the real estate, Ben?
That's true.
Century 21?
Who controls Century 21?
I just feel like a fat, white, bald guy. Maybe
so
that's the Illuminati. Okay,
yeah,
I see your
Illuminati.
Point now. I see.
So
that.
We talked about earlier, you mentioned the cut on his hand. Well, apparently, the cut is a telltale sign of MK Ultra mind control techniques.
I have never heard that even once.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Okay, so
now
Kyle,
you have
what
heard it
do?
Once. You've
well,
heard it once.
Well, what is part of their programming is it's kind of a fail-safe mechanism. If the programming that they have starts to fail, if they start to remember their program, like their actual programming techniques, their time in the programming program, then they're supposed to cut themselves on the finger or on the arm, which is a fail-safe mechanism, which puts them back into their MK Ultra state.
So what if you just like happen to be cutting some onions, and then you slice your finger and you're like, no, I was fine.
No, well, then
Illuminati.
You just go back. You know, the cut does not make you remember the memories. The cut makes the memories get burrowed deeper into your brain.
I don't want to be a negative Nelly, but I feel like there is some discrepancies in the information.
Well, there's a lot of connections here, because did you know that O.J. Simpson's mother was a member of the Mendocino State Mental Institution during the particular time period that Arizona Wilder, who was programmed for her future Illuminati role from infancy to the age of 19 by the Auschwitz Angel of Death, Joseph Mengele.
So when he was in America, just living in Arizona?
When he was working for the MK Ultra program, I thought you were hip.
I know, that I knew, but I thought he was doing it through the first version of Skype from Argentina.
Very interesting.
Yeah, she was there.
He was wearing just a big, colorful, like, orange Afro wig and, like, a mustache, going like, "Oof, hello, my name is, Bonkers."
Bonkers, nice to see you. Weird. So, O.J. Simpson's the totally rational, insane O.J. Simpson's mother, she had a small mental disorder?
No, she worked there.
She worked there.
Oh, so she just worked there.
Yeah, she worked there with those people.
Mentally
insane. The CIA's
insane.
People. And speaking of the CIA, O.J.
The CIA don't really hire very good people.
No.
They're bad at it.
Yeah.
No, because the problem is you can't, because that's where they got your fucking ass in a sling. Is that they hire bad people and crazy people, because then what they do if they get caught, they say, they're bad people, they're crazy people.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And furthermore, it is said that investigative journalists uncovered certain information that this was actually perpetrated by a CIA assassin because of a major unpaid cocaine debt, because Nicole Brown Simpson was involved with this other woman who was in deep with these people.
Well, couldn't it have just been a regular drug dealer?
It could have been. But we all know that the CIA is in bed with the Colombians.
That is true. Also true. That is actually
true.
Very true.
Yeah. Possibly
and
true,
it
yeah.
said that, and you mentioned it earlier as far as the hired killer theory goes, is that her neck, the way her neck was slit, known as the Colombian necktie.
Yeah.
So I just really hope the hired killer wasn't told to make it look like an accident, because it did not at all.
It's like she slipped on banana peel, fell on a box of knives.
Box of knives. Yeah. Someone had ordered that.
And not only were these people involved in the murder, they were also involved with jury tampering, because it is very possible that the jurors were subjected to mind control during the trial through the television sets in their hotel rooms.
Do you think maybe Domino's had something to do with that?
Ooh, maybe they did. That's a conspiracy theory I can get behind.
Yeah, some say there is one alternate juror who is dismissed. It's said that she sat in a sequestered hotel room staring at a blank television screen. Now, the television program hard
copy.
This is
also because we get these people just from the general population. You know, so there are a lot of people who spend most of their nights sitting alone in a room staring at a blank television screen.
I'm here for the lunch. Is that?
You're on the jury.
Oh, great. Well, when is lunch, by the way?
Well, we already had lunch. You ate it. I watched you eat it.
Did I eat it? I just forget to eat. Love lunch. Do you got a TV screen that has nothing on it?
Absolutely. Come this way. She's going to do great.
Yeah, good work, Christopher. Mr. Darden, we're never going to lose this case now.
Well, trusted news program Hard Copy reported that she had been hearing voices, and it's also said...
She just left her Walkman on while she was asleep.
Yeah, and she's in a hotel, right?
Yeah.
So these walls are not thick. I'm sure she was hearing voices. You always hear voices in a hotel.
Well, according to capital I, capital R investigative reporter Alex Costanillo, he said that the dismissed juror attempted suicide by eating broken glass.
God help us.
I mean, or it's just LA and she was working on a circus trick to try to get on some dumb, can you believe she did that television
show? Yeah, or she was already fucking demented and thought she was a chicken. She's eating broken glass because it's just like, I gotta do something to digest all this grain I've been eating.
It would be kind of nice, though. Everywhere you go, you just see a bunch of food you can eat. You know, every window. Yeah, big old steak window.
I'm gonna suck on that trash can over there because I'm feeling it today.
Yeah. So that's the other. And then there's Glenn Rogers, the serial killer. But he was in jail.
Yeah,
so.
Glenn Rogers, you know, he was on a program
he
on
just
ID
confessed,
Discovery.
Yeah,
he confessed. But he also confessed to 70 other murders. And
Cleopatra,
most importantly,
I think, was one of them. Yeah.
And most importantly, Glenn Rogers was in fucking jail at the time of the murder. Yeah. So he didn't do it. However, there is another theory. Henry, I'm going to let you take this.
Oh, okay.
They were talking about here, it's like his son, James Simpson, which is from his first marriage, right? His son Jason Simpson was from his first marriage, and there is a series of beliefs that he could possibly have done the murder himself. That he was on antipsychotic medication, and apparently he had been using it offhandedly. Like, he would take it sometimes and not take it sometimes, and basically said this medication was a type of medication that, like, if you don't take it after a length of time of taking it, you can have a psychotic break.
Yes.
And we know this because a private investigator that was hired through this, it's called the O.J. Simpson, the story of O.J. Simpson, which is this BBC documentary. They hired this private investigator whose whole thing is, I look through people's garbage. You'd be surprised. But it's literally, he's just like, you'll be surprised what things you find, what secrets you discover when you look through people's garbage.
Yeah, like, and mail and what they ate and
absolutely.
Stuff like that.
So
yeah.
He went through Jason Simpson's garbage and found basically bottles of tequila and empty bottles of this antipsychotic medication.
Yeah, because his father killed his mom?
Yeah.
So then you drink sometimes to just try to forget that.
Yeah.
You know?
And so basically the way they say it is that there was discrepancies between the times when he, during the time of the murder, he was supposed to, he said that he was watching television in his apartment from midnight till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Now, what show did you say you were watching?
It was called The Story of O.J. Simpson.
No, what was he watching, Jay?
He did not say what he was watching.
Oh, well,
ironically, Jay Leno, The Tonight Show.
Really? Yeah, sure. Sure, absolutely.
Very interesting.
But yeah, so there is a series of beliefs that maybe he did it. He flew off the handle.
And it's said that there was a beanie cap found at the crime scene that Jason Simpson is seen wearing in other photographs. And it's possible he was a waiter at this restaurant, and Nicole and her mother were supposed to go to Jason's restaurant to eat dinner that night, but ended up going to Ron Goldman's place.
So this is over a tip. This is over, like, he didn't get his $7 tip from the stupid calzone he was going to be serving him.
Yeah. So, and it's all that he hallucinated. It's said that in his diary he wrote, "It's the year of the knife for me. I'm out of medication and about to rage."
Yeah,
which
he does
sound like a DJ. Like, it's the year of the knife here in 1994. Yeah. I'm out of medication and about to rage.
Yeah, year of the knife does sound kind of fun. I mean,
here's Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin.
That's not bad.
Boy, I did a great job.
I gotta go kill my stepmom.
Excuse me, what was that last part, TJ?
Oh, no, sorry. That's get the lead out.
Oh, okay, that's much better. Swear to God, he said he was gonna kill his stepmom. All right, well, I think that's it for OJ.
Are you okay? And at the end of it, I just choked on some OJ.
Oh my God. OJ strikes again.
He'll never stop committing crimes.
Oh, my goodness. Every time you choke on OJ, think of Mr. Simpson.
So I do want, I have a friend named Sam Marine that is all doing a Kickstarter for a independent movie called Man Underground that is based off of an amalgamation of different UFO and conspiracy theorists. Like, you know, kind of like Phil Schneider and what's his name? Kind of like Phil Schneider and
Rob Schneider?
Like Rob Schneider.
Yeah, Phil and Rob Schneider.
Yeah, but the guy who wrote Communion. Communion. Whitley Strieber.
Whitley Strieber.
And so it's like a really great project, and you should donate to it.
So what's
if
the.
You want to see it? It's called Man Underground.
Man Underground. So you just go to Kickstarter and search for Man Underground. Yes. You can find it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Give him some cash.
Oh, yeah. And everybody, head over to iTunes and leave us a shit ton of reviews. That helps us out so much. It puts us up. That's what puts us up into the top 200.
We just broke the 100. We broke the 100 yesterday.
We're kind of popping into there here and there. But yeah, if you want us to get us into the top 50, the top 20.
If all of you go and leave
a review, then you'll fucking shoot us up to the top.
Make iTunes put us on that front page, then all of America and the world will have to deal with us.
It'll be great. Then we're strong. It's a strong group of individuals.
Yeah, very strong. Yeah, go join the Facebook page. Have a great time
out
there.
Our success is your success.
Hey, so do what relaxes you this week. You know what I mean? Don't be like OJ. Don't get caught up in rage.
No, if you feel like, oh, I want to kill somebody and behead him, I always just say, watch the Jay Leno show. Is that still on? Oh, did they cancel it? What are they going to do?
Fuck you, Jimmy Fallon.
And watch the other program. And, of course, listen to all the shows here on CCR. You know the ones that you like. And listen to
CapeComedyRadio.com. Go
hail
check it out.
Hail Satan.
Hail yourself.
I'll gain.
Will you hail me?
Mm-hmm. And we'll do a Magustalations. Oh, and congratulations on the 1994 New York Knicks for winning the Eastern Conference Finals.